Well, as Jeremy and Ron noted, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in support of the Affordable Care Act today. The justices handed the Obama administration another victory, this time on federal housing laws, but by a tighter 5-4 margin. The court ruled that housing discrimination doesn't need to be intentional in order to be illegal. Joining us to explain is Carrie Johnson, NPR's justice correspondent. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Well, Carrie, this case originates in Texas, but it has to do with the Fair Housing Act. Can you explain what today's decision means?
Sure. The Fair Housing Act was passed by Congress in 1968 in the wake of the assassination of Martin Luther King, and it's thought to be a very important tool in reducing housing segregation in inner cities and all over the country. The Obama administration has also used it quite actively in terms of bringing cases involving steering by real estate agents of minorities into lower income communities. And also, in the wake of the financial crisis, against banks that may have discriminated against minorities in terms of lending practices. So it's been an enormously powerful tool for civil rights advocates for some time. And today, in a bit of a surprise, Justice Anthony Kennedy sided with the four liberals on the court to uphold the use of that tool in cases where people prove or argue not only that they've been the victim of intentional discrimination, but also using statistics to prove that they may have been unconsciously discriminated against. And that's important because these days, housing bias and all other kinds of bias are a little less blatant than maybe they were in the 60s or 70s. And so the use of this data can help in help plaintiffs prove a case where they may not have an email or something on videotape proving discriminatory intent.
Right. And as you mentioned, it was a surprise, the 5-4 decision, because, I mean, this is the same court that has sort of whittled away at other civil rights laws, the Voting Rights Act and the use of racial preferences by public universities. But really, I mean, they focused on this issue of disparate impact. And can you just briefly explain what that means in this context?
Sure. So disparate impact is a tool, one of the ways you can prove that you have been discriminated against. First is demonstrating intentional discrimination. That is prima facie evidence that a landlord, an education company or the like has retaliated against you or discriminated against you on the basis of race. But disparate impact involves cases where you may not have that prima facie evidence, those clear statements in emails or on video. And in disparate impact cases, plaintiffs often will use statistical analysis to try to demonstrate that a government's decision, a landlord's decision, has been based on race when they don't have those statements on the record. It's very important nowadays because so much discrimination occurs in the shadows and is less blatant than it used to be.
Right. And in fact, that difference between intent and impact is really at the heart or at the root of many civil rights laws, isn't it?
That's exactly right, although I'm hearing from people who have been trying to challenge disparate impact theories, conservative groups in particular, that they are disappointed by this decision, but they're not yet done. And we should expect more litigation on some of these issues, maybe less in the housing context, now that the court has decisively allowed this tool to move forward for civil rights groups in the Obama administration, but in other contexts.
Right. Well, last question on the housing issue then. I mean, even though this case, as we said, originates in Texas, does it have an impact nationwide, since it has to do with the Fair Housing Act?
It has a huge impact nationwide because it involves moving people into inner cities as opposed to in the suburbs. And so much of the argument we have now all over the country, not just in the Dallas area, but all over the country, about where to build affordable housing for the poor involves these questions of whether those folks can be subsidized to live in the burbs or in high crime, violent neighborhoods. This conversation is all the more remarkable because it's happening as we're having unrest in places like Ferguson, Missouri, and all over the country.
Yeah. Carrie Johnson is NPR's justice correspondent. Carrie, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
So a couple of big cases out of the Supreme Court there on housing, on the Fair Housing Act, and of course on the Affordable Care Act. You're listening to Here and Now.